السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. صدق الله العظيم. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We bear witness there is none worthy of worship except Allah. We bear witness Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite grace, through His fadl upon each and every single one of us, has made us from amongst those who say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There can be no greater blessing, there can be no greater ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And through this iman we find guidance, through this iman inshaAllah there will be salvation for us on Yawmul Qiyamah, and through this iman there will be success for us in this dunya and there will be success for us in the akhirah. Everything is connected to belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is connected to this beautiful deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen not only for you and I, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for entire humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The only deen, the only religion, the only way of life accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is al-Islam. Is this deen that we call Islam, is essentially submitting oneself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting oneself to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what a person should try to achieve in their daily lives, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you and I are from amongst the best of ummah. We're from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're from amongst those that believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on this Saturday evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some free time so that we're able to come to the masjid. And we're able to offer our salah in jama'ah. Offering salah in jama'ah is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we realize it or not, you know, we've just earned the reward of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for nisful layl, for half the night. Although we may have only come to the masjid for 10 minutes, and subhanAllah, so many people may have left from the masjid. Alhamdulillah, they came to the masjid, they offered Salatul Isha. This is the reward that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promises us for praying Salatul Isha in jama'ah in the masjid is nisful layl, is half the night. You know, this is something that you and I take for granted. Or I would say the reality is that you and I don't even think about the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering us. We're just here to fulfill the obligation, but look at the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers us. When a person connects themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person brings themselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes closer to us. The hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us, a person takes one step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes two steps. A person goes walking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes running to that individual. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make a little bit of an effort and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens doors for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On this Saturday evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to gather in the masjid, and not just today, but alhamdulillah, the masjid has regular monthly programs, and subhanallah, scholars come to the programs, and they share advice, they share the teachings of the Qur'an, they share the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and mashallah, you guys take time out, and you listen to the bayan, and there'll be people listening to the bayan at home, and there'll be sisters listening to the bayan at home, taking some time out. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This time that we spend is time that will testify for us on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. This time that we spend in the house of Allah, the time that we spend listening to some advice, listening to some teachings of the Qur'an, some teachings of the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we may not see the value of this in dunya, but the value of this will be seen when our eyes close, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue granting us tawfiq that we may turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all connected to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May we be of those who come to the masjid, who come to the house of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الرَّجُلْ يَتَعَاهَدُ الْمَسْجِدِ. When you see a person frequenting the masjid, then you can testify regarding that person's faith. When a person comes to the masjid, then we can testify that that person is a mu'min, that person is a Muslim, that person is a believer. Because the munafiqeen run away from the house of Allah. The munafiqeen run away from salah. They run away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that they do is for show, is for riya, is just to show people. When a person comes to the house of Allah, when a person wakes up in the early hours in the morning, when a person walks, leaves their home and walks to the masjid, there is no benefit, there is no material benefit in that. You know, but that the benefit is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those regarding whom it is said that these are the believers because they frequent the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. As we gather today, the topic for today is purifying the soul or abstaining from worldly desires or something along those lines. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow me to say that which is a benefit to us, and most importantly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to put into practice what we learn. You know, when we come to the house of Allah, when we come to Salatul Jumu'ah, when we come to any bayan, the intention should be, I'm going to walk away with something. The intention is not just to sit in the bayan. Yeah, the intention is not just to go for the sake of a speaker. The intention is not just to sit there because our friends are sitting there, our friends are going, or there's... The intention is that we walk away with something. You know, subhanAllah, if we ask ourselves, if we were to take one thing from each bayan that we would have heard, or each lecture that we attended, or each conference that we went to, what would be our position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today? Just one thing. One thing. Imagine Jumu'ah. Yeah, 52 weeks. Yeah, 52 things that would have improved in 1 year. 52 changes that would have come into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to bring into practice what we learn. When it comes to the soul, when it comes to the dunya, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us, and Sahl ibn Sa'd radiyallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى كافرا منها شربة ماء. That if the dunya was worth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equivalent to the wing of a mosquito. The wing of a mosquito in itself is something that we just disregard. You know, if you hear something, you just try zapping it. If it's on your body, you just try hitting it. It doesn't hold any significance. And not even the entire mosquito, the wing of a mosquito. And subhanAllah, even if we look at some of these, you know, a fly has a little bit of a wing, a butterfly has a wing. I think the mosquito, Allah knows what it is. It's just something which is sticking out like an antenna. Yeah, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, if the dunya was worth even that much to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the disbeliever would not be even given a sip of water. My respected brothers, these are the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu reminds us, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that you don't leave anything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you something better in return. Unfortunately, we find that we've made the dunya the center of our attention. We've made the dunya the purpose of our life. Everything rotates around the dunya for us. Everything rotates around the dunya. Everything that we do is for some worldly objective, is for fulfilling something regarding the dunya. But when we take a look at the dunya in the eyes of the Quran and Sunnah, we find that the dunya holds no value. The dunya holds no value. Our approach to the dunya and the approach that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us are on two ends of the spectrum. Subhanallah, if we take a look at the dunya, everything that we do from morning till evening is connected to some material gain, is connected to some material growth, is connected to some material benefit. Very little of our time is spent for the akhirah. Very little of our time is spent focusing on the life of the hereafter. Very little of our concern is spent on the akhirah, the life of the hereafter, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly reminds us in the Holy Quran, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the word Jannah, yeah, so many times, جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, that there will be paradise. What will paradise be? There will be gardens, yeah, under which rivers will be flowing. Yeah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many a time says, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, therein you will reside forever. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who enter Jannah bidun al-hisab, without any reckoning, and may Jannah be our eternal abode. My respected brothers, when we hear the word eternity, the reality of the matter is that no matter how we try to translate the word eternity, how we try to understand the word eternity, the reality is that no human being can truly understand eternity. Because there is nothing in our lives which is everlasting, non-ending. Everything has a lifespan. Everything has a lifespan. We take a look, everything around us, the phones that we hold in our hands, they have a lifespan. The clothes that we wear, they have a lifespan. The car that we use has a lifespan. The home that we live in has a lifespan. Yeah, mashallah, the beautiful masjid that we're in, you'll see after some time, something might break down. It needs to be changed. It needs to be replaced. Yeah, something after some point will need to be renovated. There might be something that needs to be painted again. Everything has a lifespan. Ultimately, the human life has a lifespan as well. What is our lifespan? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. The lifespan may be 50, 60, 70 years, what people generally think about. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when a person departs from this dunya. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what has been written for us. But the reality of the matter is that everything has a lifespan. Hence, the human mind cannot truly understand something which is eternal. We can try to understand something which is eternal. We understand the meaning, something that lasts forever. However, there is nothing that has crossed our paths in life, and there will be nothing that will cross our paths in life that lives forever. There is nothing that continues forever. Even the dunya in itself will come to an end. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command the malaika, and subhanallah, you know, the trumpet will be blown and the dunya will come to an end. The universe will come to an end. Everything will come to an end. We read about it, you know, this is there for this many thousands of years and this many this years and this much that. That's, you know, we're just putting numbers and figures together to try to understand. When we understand this point, then we should be asking ourselves, are we risking the eternal life of paradise for some worldly gain and benefit? Ultimately, when a person is following their desires, When a person is following the nafs and the calling of the nafs and what the nafs wants, and when a person is being allowed, or when a person allows the nafs to lead them to what the nafs and what the desire wants, what are we doing? Are we putting the eternal life of Jannah, the life of bliss, the life of comfort, the life that you and I can never truly imagine? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us, what is Jannah and what does Jannah contain? مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. That what is Jannah? Jannah has things that the eyes has not seen. Jannah has things that the ears have not heard of. And Jannah has things that the mind has never understood. SubhanAllah, at times, you know, we talk to our elders. We talk to our elders. And you know, they hear of the technology of today. And they'll turn around and they make remarks like, aisi baatein to humne kabhi suni nahi thi. We've never heard of stuff like this. Yeah, we never thought we would hear of stuff like this. Yeah, go ask someone that's 70, 80, 90. And subhanAllah, ask them like, okay, you know, what was your childhood like? And what did you think of the world at that time? And where is the world? And what has been the progression of the world throughout your lifetime? And subhanAllah, you know, they'll amaze us with what they have to say. If that is what just 50 or 60 years has brought, then imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all entry into Jannah to Firdaus. But my respected brothers, yeah, we have to remind ourselves, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. This life that we have, the body that we have, it's all borrowed. In reality, the time that we have, you know, as they say in English, you're living on borrowed time. It's all borrowed. We've already done a transaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, a transaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've purchased our place in Jannah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our life, our soul, everything that we have, the time that we have in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased it. And in return, what is the sum that is being given, the payment that is being given, the payment is that is being given is in return for Jannah. Believe it or not, a place is already written for us in Jannah. Our names have already been written in Jannah. All we have to do is that this body, this soul, the life which has been given back to us, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given back to us, we just have to remember that this is something which is borrowed. When someone lends us something, we look after that item because we know that we have to return it back to them. If you borrow someone's car and you drive it for a few hours, yeah, you look after that car. And not only do you look after that car, if you've been taught some akhlaq and manners, then you ensure that you fill petrol and diesel in that car as well. And you give it back to them with a full tank. Yeah, that's just good akhlaq, and that's the tarbiyah that, you know, we try to teach one another and our children. Yeah, subhanAllah, to return something better than the state that it was given to you. If someone gives you, you borrow someone's car, and look at it, it's a mess. If you have a little bit of time, take it for a car wash. Yeah, subhanAllah. We see when friends borrow people, yeah, cars, they bring it back with an empty tank. Yeah, but that's not what Islam teaches us. Yeah, Islam teaches us ihsan, to go above and beyond and better. But subhanAllah, when someone lends something, we look after it because we know we have to return it back to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this life. It's an amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to fulfill the amanah. We need to look after this responsibility, and we need to return it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us that He will give us Jannah in return. And subhanAllah, the life of Jannah, as we just covered, will be a life of eternal comfort. SubhanAllah, we're going through the weekend today. Yeah, a lot of youngsters will be happy because it's Saturday. And then tomorrow will be Sunday. But the next day after will be Monday. Yeah. Everything comes to an end. That's the reality of the dunya. Come Monday, people will have to go back to work. You have to go back to school. Yeah. But there will be no such thing like that in Jannah. There will be no such thing like that in Jannah. There will just be comfort and comfort and comfort. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنُ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ. That dunya is a prison for the believer, but dunya is Jannah for the disbeliever. Because the disbeliever does as they wish, the disbeliever engages as they wish, the disbeliever says as they wish, but the Muslim is governed by the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Muslim is governed by the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We live our lives in accordance to the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We live our lives in accordance to the teachings of the Quran. We live our lives in accordance to the submission that we have brought upon ourselves. When a person says, I am a Muslim, what is Islam? Islam is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that submit, immediately he says, I have submitted to the Lord of the worlds. When we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have to remind ourselves, what is submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means to submit in its entirety. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that there will be people that will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the edge. إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ خَيْرٌ اِطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. Subhanallah, when something good happens, everything is fine. But then when something adverse happens, yeah, subhanallah, that is the moment. What happens? Does a person turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or the other way around? Yeah, when times are good, people forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, alhamdulillah, rizq is good, family is good, health is good, children are good, wife is good, everything is good. Yeah. What is the need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But when something bad happens, immediately we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We start going to the masjid. We start taking out some sadaqah. We start making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing wrong in that. Yeah, but remember, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when times are good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remember you when times are bad. When we submit in entirety. أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that enter this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala كَافَّةً in its entirety. When we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're not picking and choosing our deen. But unfortunately, the reality is that we do pick and choose the elements of our lives. Yeah, which part of our life do I wish to submit, and which part of my life do I not wish to submit? Yeah, alhamdulillah, it's the month of Ramadan, I'm going to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But oh no, this Saturday there's a wedding, so now, you know, subhanallah, this Saturday Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to have to let me off. It doesn't work like that. This is the reality of the situation. Yeah, this is the reality. MashaAllah. Yeah, we pick and choose when we wish to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're in the masjid, yeah, we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're at home, we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're out with friends, then subhanallah, it's like, okay, it's a night off today. Yeah. Yeah, you get nights off from things, from people, from children, but you don't get night off from being a Muslim. There's no night off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask ourselves, what if death were to approach us on that night off? What if death were to approach us on that evening off? There is no evening off. It's either we submit or we don't submit. أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. We don't get to pick and choose. My respected brothers and those listening at home, when it comes to the nafs, when it comes to the desires of the nafs, each and every single one of us has to fight the soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The one who purifies their soul has indeed reached success. Is the one who is successful, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And the one that allows their nafs to run wild will be from amongst the losers. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. Yeah, the one that purifies their soul is indeed successful. The one that prays, the one that remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, every single one of us has desires. I can't remember, I think it was Imam Qurtubi or someone, he mentions that subhanAllah, everyone has desires. Yeah. The pious and the not so pious as well. Yeah. Those that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those that are not close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone were to turn around and say that subhanAllah, you know, that shaykh doesn't have any desires, or that, you know, alim doesn't have any desires, or that wali of Allah doesn't. No, that's false. Yeah, everyone is attracted to dunya, and everyone is connected to dunya in some format. But the difference is that the one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to control their desires and not fall prey to the temptations. And the one that doesn't have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that falls prey to the temptations of the soul and the nafs. That is the difference between the two people. One who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we would call the muttaqeen, the saliheen, the pious individuals that are able to control themselves. That are able to control themselves. For who? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Indeed, the individual that fears the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, each and every single one of us has to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fardan, fardan, one by one, we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us, لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ, that the feet of a believer won't move on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ until the person is asked regarding their youth and how they spent it, regarding their wealth and how they earned it, regarding their wealth and how they spent it, regarding every aspect of our lives. We will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all entry into Jannatul Firdaus without any hisab, without standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man husiba nuqish. Yeah, we're reminded that the individual who has to give account, that individual will fall through difficulty. Because when we start, if a person has to give accounting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where will we start and where will we end? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Yeah, but the individual that remembers the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and due to this, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, the individual stops their nafs from falling prey to their desires. Shahawat, yeah, desires, wants, needs. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Jannah will be that person's destination. Jannah will be that person's abode. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of such people. You know, subhanallah, when it comes, you know, when we talk of this control of the nafs, the ulama remind us that what is this control of the nafs called? The control of the nafs, the control of oneself, is called jihadun nafs. Yeah, when we talk of jihad, yeah, there are two meanings of jihad. The literal meaning of jihad, to go fi sabilillah, when there is a just call. Yeah. And the second being jihadun nafs. Yeah, the struggle against oneself. The scholars, the ulama, they count jihadun nafs to be the higher jihad. Yeah. Jihadun, one would think that subhanallah, when a person sacrifices everything, their family, their wealth, their children, everything, and goes for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that would be the greater struggle. That would be the greater reward. But subhanallah, the jihad of the nafs, the struggle of the soul, is actually called the greater jihad. At times when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would come back from, you know, the expeditions and you know, the fi sabilillah that they would go to, yeah, they would remind one another that we have come back from the lesser struggle, now is time for us to put effort into the greater struggle. Yeah. Because when you're out, you know, there's less time to focus on other things. Subhanallah, you're worried about your life, you're worried about life and death. But when you're home, and subhanallah, when you're in your comfort zone, they say that now is time for us to focus on the greater soul. Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah was asked, which jihad is afdal? And he said, jihadu hawak. Yeah, the struggle against your soul. And this is something not only Hassan al-Basri, but others as well. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah. Yeah, he would say, the afdalul jihad, that the best of jihad, the best of struggles is jihadul hawa, is the struggle against the soul, is the struggle against the nafs. Subhanallah, my respected brothers. When we take a look at ourselves, when we take a look at the dunya, there are many temptations. When we talk of tazkiyatun nafs, a lot of people misunderstand purification of the soul. A lot of people misunderstand purification of the soul in the sense that when tazkiyatun nafs is mentioned, people start thinking, well, this is something for the Sufis. This whole purification of the soul, and now, I need to have, ta'alluq with someone, and, go to that, have like a mentor. No, it's good to get a mentor, but like a spiritual mentor and this and that. No, subhanAllah, what is purification of the soul? Purification of the soul is just to be mindful of the soul. Just to be mindful of the soul. And what are we purifying ourselves from? Subhanallah, there are so many things that we need to purify ourselves from. Specifically, when it comes to purification of the soul, the ulama have listed a number of things. What do we purify ourselves from? We purify ourselves from jealousy. We purify ourselves from hatred. We purify ourselves from inequity. We purify ourselves from miserliness, from blameworthy modesty, from fantasizing, ostentation, showing off, riya, seeking reliance on others, which is against tawakkul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking fame. Subhanallah, in today's day and age, when social media, Instagram, TikTok, people, it's just about followers. Subhanallah, at times we ask ourselves, where is ikhlas? Where is our sincerity? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. False hopes, negative thoughts, vanity, fraud, anger, heedlessness. The list continues when we talk about, tazkiyatun nafs. But subhanallah, it's not just restricted to those things. Generally, one would think of them to be character traits. Inner character traits. But it's not just restricted to that. When we talk of tazkiyatun nafs, it's also controlling one's desires. Controlling one's desires. We find today that subhanAllah, we fall prey to the lifestyle that's advertised to us. We fall prey to the different cultures that surround us. We fall prey to subhanAllah, our friendship and where it leads us. We fall prey to so many things. Is it not time for us to overcome the nafs? If not today, when? If not today, when? We keep reminding ourselves that it's okay, still young, it's okay, I can have a little bit of fun. When I grow old, I'll be retired, I won't have to go to work, then I'll start going to the masjid, I'll start changing, I'll keep a beard, I'll start doing, this thing, and I'll start doing that thing. SubhanAllah, what guarantee is there that number one, a person will live to that age? And number two, what guarantee is there that a person will have tawfiq at that time to change? Because if a person has been bringing and subhanAllah, programming themselves and their nafs to bad habits for 30, 40, 50 years of their lives, then it's going to be even more difficult to change. It's going to be even more difficult to change. When does change happen? Change happens now. As we end, just a few reminders, few things that we can do practical to bring that change into our lives. And as far as the desires of the dunya go, I'm not even going to list the desires. SubhanAllah, they're endless. Whether it's haram relationships, whether it's haram wealth, whether it's incorrect friendships, whether it's what substances that our youngsters are getting up to, whether it's subhanAllah, the haram gaze, whether it's gender interactions, the list continues one after the other. All of the shahawat, all of the things that look appealing to us. All of the things that look appealing to us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reminds us, حُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ وَحُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. That Jannah is surrounded by adversity, and the hellfire is surrounded by lust. Shahawat. If a person falls prey to shahawat, then know that subhanAllah, the direction that one is heading towards is towards the punishment and the wrath and the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet ﷺ has said that Jahannam is surrounded by shahawat. A person follows their shahawat, their desires, the incorrect, which is the majority. Yeah, a person will be led to the hellfire. Yeah. Jannah is surrounded by adversity. Yes, from a dunyawi point of view, there will be some hardship if a person wants to reach Jannah. There will be some hardship. But even in the dunya, we're reminded that nothing is free, nothing is easy. Yeah, if a person wants to achieve something in life, then you need to struggle, you need to put some effort in. Yeah, whether it's, you know, you want to achieve a good education, you need to put some struggle in. You can't just sit, you know, spend time with your friends all weekend, spend time with your friends in the evening, and then expect the best of grades. It doesn't work like that. If someone wants to put some effort into their business, well, you can't not put any time and effort into the business and then expect great return. It doesn't work like that. Everyone has to put some effort in. If a person wishes to reach Jannah, then a person needs to put some effort in so that they can reach what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us. Yeah, the first thing that you and I can do is to have constant purification. Constant purification. Always be in a state where a person is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is purifying their intention. A person is purifying themselves. Just be in a constant state. You know, which a person should be in a constant state of awareness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. I was reading, I forget now, subhanAllah. It was, I forget the name, it was one of the great scholars. He says, for 40 years of my life, yeah, there was nothing that I did except that I knew why I was doing it. Yeah. 40 years of my life, there was nothing that I did except that I knew why I was doing it. Now you might think, yeah, I know that. No, reflect. Yeah. SubhanAllah, why are we sitting here? So then, if we're sitting here to learn something, are we learning something? SubhanAllah. If a person is eating food, why are you eating? If it's to get energy, then what are you going to do with that energy? If you're going to meet with someone, or if you're sitting with someone, why are you sitting with that person? If it's to learn something of benefit, then that's something that you should be getting. If you're sitting with a friend and you've just been so stressed all week and you need to offload, then that is what should be happening. If you're with a friend and you just need a bit of, you know, free time, that is what should... Nothing should be pointless. Nothing should be pointless. Everything that a person does, a person should be conscious and aware of their actions. A person should be conscious and aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ultimately, that's what taqwa is, to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person should constantly be reflecting, a person should be in a constant state of awareness. We find that we enter ghafla. Yeah, we enter long bouts of ghafla, heedlessness. We become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can that happen to a believer that doesn't know when death will approach them? That doesn't know when their time could be to depart from this dunya? Constantly be in a state of awareness. You know, subhanAllah, when a person fears, if a person is somewhere, let's say for example at 2 in the morning, and they fear their safety, or they fear their security, or they fear, you know, belongings. A person is what? Yeah, constantly aware. Yeah. Where's my bags? Okay, they're here. Yeah, where's my passport? It's in my pocket. Where's my, you know, the bag that I've got with my money? You know, people have, okay, it's with me. Where's my phone? Yeah. Why? Because we value it. Yeah. But then if you're at home, what happens? Phone could be somewhere. Yeah, half the time you don't know where your phone is. You have to get your wife or someone to call. Where's the, you know, the, you start hearing the, or you hear the vibration, yeah, and then you know where the phone is. Yeah, SubhanAllah. Where's your wallet? you don't know, somewhere at home. Where's the keys? Somewhere. But you're not worried. Why? Because you're in a safe home. Yeah, you're in that safety. You're in that security. Hence, a person isn't too concerned. When it comes to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person should always be aware. Yeah. Create this sense of awareness that just as our belongings hold value to us, yeah, and a person is aware. Yeah. Subhanallah, if your jacket has got some belongings, I'm sure you don't leave your jacket outside, you carry your jacket with you. Or you take the belongings from your jacket and you put them in your pocket. Because despite the fact that there's all these CCTV cameras, you don't know what could happen. Anyone could come take any jacket, could, you know, put their hands in any. But subhanAllah, because it holds value to us, we look after it. Do our lives and our actions not hold value to us? Why is it that we're not safeguarding our actions? We're not in the state of presence. If a person is in a constant state of awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before they look at something haram, they'll be mindful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where I'm looking. Yeah, before they listen to something haram, they'll be aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what my ears are listening to. Before they engage in something wrong, they'll be aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of my engagement. Constantly be in a state of awareness. Number two, avoid sin and avoid wrong. Avoid sin and avoid wrong. When it comes to sins, it's a topic of its own. But remember, wrong breeds wrong. Sin breeds sin. A person engages in one sin. What happens the first time? A person feels something. What happens the second time, the third time? A person becomes desensitized to that wrong. That feeling of wrong disappears from a person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Yeah, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a person engages in a sin, a black dot is placed on the heart. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this verse of the Holy Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it, that is the black dot of the sin that is placed in the heart. Yeah. Subhanallah, one sin, second sin, third sin, and then it just becomes normal. Yeah. Avoid sin and see that a person will be able to control their desires. When we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens in the month of Ramadan? What happens in the month of Ramadan? Naturally, due to the barakah of Ramadan, the barakah of fasting, the barakah of the Quran, the barakah of our coming to the masjid more often, the barakah of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, all of these different things put together, we find that it becomes easier for us not to engage in sin. It becomes easy for us to do good. Because of the impact that goodness has. Remember, ibadah and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a positive impact. And sin and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a negative impact. Everything, cause and effect, it's what the dunya runs on. Yeah, nothing, if there's something, there'll always be an effect of something. You turn the heating on, the masjid turns warm. You turn the fan on, air will start circulating. Yeah, something, similarly, we commit a wrong, it will have an impact and it won't be an impact towards the good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Number four, when we think of sin, when the nafs needs to be reined in, when the nafs needs to be reminded, we should remind ourselves that this dunya is temporary. This dunya is temporary. What are we going to gain from this dunya? Subhanallah, if someone offers us something great in return, you're extremely hungry, and someone says, don't have that packet of crisps. You stay hungry for 2 hours, and I'll feed you something amazing, a biryani or something, yeah, or a steak. Yeah, subhanallah, what will you do? You sacrifice that crisp. I mean, a crisp is nothing compared to the eternal. You know, remember, as I said, we can't compare eternity. We can't think of eternity. Yeah, what are we sacrificing? For the sake of what? What are we benefiting from? For the sake of what? Yeah, subhanallah, it's what we're gaining is ultimately rubbish. What we're gaining is worthless. And what we're sacrificing is our entire akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The dunya is temporary. I have a cousin. He never goes to the cinema. Yeah. He's a bit of a bula bala insan. Yeah. In today's day and age, you'd actually say he has a learning disability. He would never. He lives in India. He would never go to the cinema. And his only thing was, what if I die there? Agar maut wahan pe aa gayi to? Yeah, just a bula bala insan. And he goes, you know, subhan. And now we should ask ourselves, Yeah, where can death come? Death can come at any time. Death can come at any time. I'll tell you something. As I said, I work in the hospital, subhanAllah. Death can come at the most. Yeah, subhanAllah. Imagine if you're somewhere on a Saturday night and death comes. Yeah, what happens? What will be, you know, the state of your family? What will people say to your parents? Yeah. SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Dunya is temporary. Yeah. Number five, follow the sunnah. The barakah of the sunnah will bring goodness into our lives. Yeah. When we think of each action, think of or remind oneself regarding the positive elements of that action and regarding the negative elements of that action. Whatever it is that we're doing, yeah, we ask ourselves, what is the positive in that? What is the negative in that? Is there any positive in that? Do the positives outweigh the negatives? Every action that we do, we should be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. Spend our time wisely. Yeah. Be in good company. Yeah. These are all reminders that we should bring into our lives, ultimately so that we can control the nafs, we can control the shahawat, we can control our desires. Yeah. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us, "Inna dunya mal'una." Yeah, the entire dunya is cursed. Yeah, mal'unun ma fiha. Everything that it contains is cursed, except the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever is connected to it, and except aliman aw mu'alliman. Yeah, except the learned person or except the one that is learning. Always be on a journey of learning. Always be on a journey of betterment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, these are things that we can do. Yeah, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is faced with such a thought, with a desire, with wanting to do something, we're reminded, what do we do? فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan the accursed. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us regarding shaitan that shaitan doesn't wish well for us. Yeah, shaitan doesn't wish well for us. Yeah. Shaitan wishes to take us to the pits of the hellfire. Yeah. Protect oneself from the calling of shaitan. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us. Yeah. Lastly, earn halal living. Yeah. As we go through these winter months, try to pray tahajjud. Yeah. Try to pray tahajjud. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was asked. Someone came and asked him and said that I'm not able to pray tahajjud. And he told the person that your sins are preventing you from praying tahajjud. Yeah. As I said earlier, sins have an impact. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. There are numerous benefits of tahajjud. Yeah. But tahajjud can bring change into a person's life. Yeah, the time of tahajjud is the last third of the night. Right now, Salatul Fajr is becoming late. Many people will be waking up early anyways for work. Yeah. And subhanAllah, in a few weeks' time, we'll see even coming to the masjid when Salatul Fajr, you have to quickly pray masjid. Everyone's rushing out because people need to head to work. People need to head to school. Yeah. Aisha radiallahu anha reminds us in a narration, she says, any time after Salatul Isha also counts as Qiyam. Yeah. So subhanAllah, nights are long. Yeah. It's still 7:45. Yeah, still 7:45. Yeah, the night is long. Yeah. SubhanAllah, what's stopping us from praying 2 rakat, 4 rakat, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before going to sleep, before going to bed? The power of tahajjud has not, you know, those that pray tahajjud have understood the power of tahajjud and they will never let go of it. They have understood and they have experienced the dua and the acceptance of the dua. We hear the hadith numerous times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest of heavens in the last third of the night and is asking, is there any servant of mine with a need? I may fulfill their need. Is there any servant of mine asking for forgiveness? I may forgive that person. Over 22 sahaba radiallahu anhum narrate this hadith. Yeah. We don't understand this hadith.
But those that have understood the power of tahajjud, wake up for tahajjud. Come rain or shine, they wake up for tahajjud because they know the power that it contains. They know the offering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he reminds us that tahajjud, the dua made at tahajjud, is the arrow that doesn't miss its target. It's a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'as. It's a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers our call. It's a time that brings great change into our lives. Yeah, the benefits of tahajjud, a person's time throughout the day is put into great use if a person can wake up for tahajjud. A person will go to sleep early, a person will wake up early. You know, subhanAllah, everything falls into place. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, remember, always have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Yeah. Who loses hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Those that disbelieve lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believers, the mu'mineen, never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what we've done in life, no matter where we are in life, no matter what, you know, ill thoughts that we have. You know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the beauty of our deen. Look at the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, and I keep saying I'll end with these two ahadith. Yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us that subhanallah, the beauty of our deen is that we are not held accountable for our thoughts. It doesn't matter what a person thinks, what wrong a person thinks to do, there's no sin written for that person. And if a person even engages in that wrong, only one sin is written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the contrary, if a person intends to do good, if a person just makes the intention right now that inshallah, you know, I will come to the masjid for Salatul Fajr tomorrow, it's Sunday, the angels have already written down a reward for us. And if we come, then that reward will be multiplied by 10 inshallah. This is the beauty of our deen. Yeah, it doesn't matter what ill thoughts are going through our mind, what, you know, wrong things we want to do, what wrongs we feel inclined towards, always have hope in the rahmah and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that can change hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that changes a person's standing, a person's position. Nothing is difficult or impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us just make the intention of wanting to change and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq and ability to better ourselves. May we change towards the better. May we be attracted towards good. May we be repulsed by that which is wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to bring our nafs and our desires in control. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our desires to be in line with the Quran and Sunnah and the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everyone's coming together today, and may our time be written as salvation for us. And inshallah, may we take something from this, and may it become sadaqatul jariyah for me, and may it become sadaqatul jariyah for you. And inshallah, what we take, we pass on to others, and we teach others, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Is not a condition. It's called noisy.